They're hot today. They're hanging out in the shade.
Neil Rudisill is a farmer. He has chickens and dozens of crops, growing tomatoes, greens, and onions. But he's not your typical farmer. He and his partner purchased this spot in the heart of Kansas City's inner city just a few years ago. They bought two houses that have needed some work.
The gutting I did do by myself. Lisa helped out too, my partner.
And they bought the vacant properties around the homes, transforming the area into an urban farm. Last year, they brought in $10,000 from selling their produce to local restaurants and farmers markets.
I can't think of a better way to use some of these vacant parcels than food production, because it does so much. Bring in income, bring good food, you know, help fight climate change, a place for mobilizing your neighbors.
Rudisill also has money coming in from another source. He just took a job with the Neighborhood Association, promoting urban gardening in the community. And his message resonates with his neighbor, Sandra Wheeler, who grew up in the house across the street.
I've sat here for the past 2 years and I've watched Neil and learn how he's done his.
Wheeler says blight and crime once plagued the neighborhood, but in the past 10 years, the area has gone through a renaissance. And now the community can focus more on what she calls the fun stuff, like beautifying the area and raising gardens.
So my interest is that the lot on the east side of me, I want to actually purchase that so I could do the same thing.
This is the kind of feel-good story you hear a lot about urban agriculture projects. But a new study released by the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future says urban ag proponents need to be careful about overselling all the benefits. And they need to be honest when it comes to some of the limitations. Rachel Santo is a co-author of the study. I spoke with her on Skype.
How do you quantify improved community diversity and cooperation and, you know, intergenerational knowledge exchange?
Santo says those unquantifiable things, the community building aspects, are some of urban agriculture's greatest assets, in addition to promoting healthy living and ecological diversity. But it's the quantifiable promises, like the economic kind, where research falls short.
There's very little evidence of a significant number of jobs, let alone livable wage jobs, being created by urban agriculture.
And there is this question of sustainability. Like, can we really grow enough food within cities to feed everybody who lives in them? Santo says there would have to be a real shift in what people expect to be able to eat year-round. And it would also take addressing some important disparities.
A lot of the community gardens and urban farms aren't necessarily feeding the communities in which they're located.
There's a lot of cheap vacant land in low-income neighborhoods, and lots of times the people with the money coming in to start projects are outsiders. Santo says people in those situations need to be sensitive to that, more inclusive, and open to their neighbors to avoid creating rifts in the community.
A lot of times people try to pair the benefits of urban agriculture or lump them all together, but they might vary based on the type and the main aim of the organization.
What type of tomatoes are they?
You know, there's a variety.
Catherine Kelly runs Cultivate KC, a nonprofit group in Kansas City that works with the mixed bag of everything urban agriculture covers, from a front yard garden plot to a community garden to small farms just outside of the city center.
The truth is that urban agriculture is one of a number of strategies to address all of that array of issues. It's one strategy to address vacant lots. It's one strategy to address, you know, climate change. It's one strategy to address disconnection from food.
Kelly says the explosion of urban agriculture projects over the last few decades have led to more opportunities to understand how these projects can fit into a community.
What are the models that are good for the farmer, good for the community, good for the environment, good for the consumer?
And she says it's really about getting people to think more about where their food comes from, whether it's from a big farm out in the country or from closer to their front yard. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Suzanne Hogan.